Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back. The week started with the eighth largest bankruptcy in U.S. history, MF Global Finance filing after investing heavily in European debt. Today, the bookend, John Corzine stepping down as chair and CEO, and he'll be jumping without his golden parachute of $12 million. He says he will not take it. He's also hired a lawyer, as the SEC, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, and the FBI are all investigating why around $633 million in MF Global customer money is missing. And there are also questions about MF Global's techniques. Firms are allowed to use customer money to invest and earn interest, but MF Global was borrowing customer money, essentially using it to make a loan to the firm. Ben Protas of the New York Times joins us again. And Ben, you've explained this today in your writing. Thank you. And you also say this is the kind of risky business that federal regulators were looking to rein in, but John Corzine lobbied against that. Tell us more.
That's exactly right. So the Commodity Futures Trading Commission is a regulator in Washington, and what they decided they wanted to do last year is say there are going to be no more of these kind of risky bets where you can use customer money to do what's called an in-house repo transaction. It's essentially using customer money to make a loan to the firm itself. And the proposal was moving forward, and it looked like it was gathering steam. And then Mr. Corzine, throughout the last several months, personally lobbied the CFTC commissioners and was able to at least delay and now some people believe kill the rule.
Yeah. Well, other firms do this as well, just to underscore that. But is this why there is customer money missing? Is that the connection?
That is one element that the regulators are now examining. We don't know for sure that that's where the money has gone and that's where it will turn up. But at the very least, that is a major trigger and a warning sign that perhaps that's where the money has gone.
Well, and the Wall Street Journal is reporting on another technique today that might have hidden some of these loans. They say that MF Global was practicing something called window dressing, again, completely legal, but perhaps misleading. They would temporarily slash the debt that they had right before they had to report their finances each quarter. Tell us more about this. Again, other firms do this. MF Global has said that they were not doing this purposefully, that they actually did have lower debt when they went to report. But is there a sense that they were keeping this debt from investors?
Well, that's the question, and that's our colleagues at the Journal raised that question. It's an important question to follow up on. The question, I think, going forward, though, is that's perfectly legal practice. There's nothing inherently wrong with doing that. You know, even Lehman Brothers did something somewhat similar in their final months and days. But the question is, if it hid the risk, if it prevented investors from seeing just how leveraged this firm was, is that one of the many things that ultimately led to its downfall?
By the way, do you think regulators will now move to pass at least some regulation curbing the technique of borrowing customers' money to make a loan to a firm?
Absolutely. Our sources are telling us that they're trying to move as quickly as possible on this rule, that the MF Global situation highlights the need for it, and some folks who originally wanted to delay it are now having some second thoughts on that. And one commissioner, Bart Chilton, is speaking, giving a speech today, basically calling for the immediate passage of this rule and perhaps even going further, requiring firms not just to no longer engage in this risky transaction, but to actually document every second of the day where their customers' money is.
Interesting. Meanwhile, just your thoughts on John Corzine. Earlier in the week, you reminded us that even though it sounds appalling to outsiders, this idea of buying up debt from flailing countries, betting that there will be a bailout, and then you will, you know, get your bonds and things that you bought backed up, you'll get some of that bailout money. While that sounds very risky, it might have been a good bet for John Corzine if it had worked. It might have been a good thing for his investors if it had worked. But this idea now that he took even riskier bets, borrowing customers' money to make loans, you know, what's your sense of his legacy, especially since you also reminded us that you thought he would not take that $12 million golden parachute of his own that he was due because he is something of a liberal Democrat who's spoken out against income inequality?
most people who know John think he's a decent human being and not the kind of person that's going to, you know, take money from the firm at this incredibly difficult time. Not to mention he would have been an unsecured creditor in the bankruptcy process, so chances are he wasn't going to get his money anyway. Let's just be honest about that. That said, people were very clear today that there's no way he's accepting his $12 million severance payment. I think that's a very important sign he's sending to everyone.
But Ben, again, you know, I can hear people saying, wait a second, why is he a decent human being when he collapses a company, and others on Wall Street who, you know, maybe not of the same political leanings are not when they collapse a company. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what's your sense of his legacy as far as what he did with the company?
Well, this is a huge black mark on the legacy. There's no question about that. On the other hand, you have to look at the person as a whole, and he served in public service for 10 years, accepted $1 as a salary as New Jersey governor, and I think that when you look at kind of the career over the long term and you look at his tenure at Goldman Sachs and everything, it's a more complicated tale. It's not just the downfall of MF Global. That said, this has certainly been a disastrous week, a disastrous month for him, and it's not the way he wanted to end his Wall Street career.
You know, it's interesting, Ben. I just have to remind us that we knew, though, something about his risk-taking. We remember that he was the governor of New Jersey who urged his state troopers to speed. And there was a terrible accident, and he was injured.
Well, there's one thing about risk-taking in the car, and another thing about risk-taking when you're placing bets on European sovereign debt, not quite sure which is more risky. Ultimately, this bet, while risky on the European sovereign debt, probably would have been profitable if not for the panic that has been set off. There's basically a crisis of confidence in the firm over the last month. Moody's, the rating agency, downgraded the firm's credit rating, and from there, everything just fell apart.
Ben Protas of the New York Times. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much. Good talking to you.
And by the way, one of the reasons MF Global was borrowing customer money for loans was to protect the company from so-called margin calls. That's when a loan is called in, forcing a company to sell off assets. We talked about this yesterday, and you can hear our interview with writer-director J.C. Chandor about his new movie, Margin Call. We'll have it at hereandnow.org. But we also wanted to add, we heard from listener Andy Oram of Vermont, who objected to the implication that all borrowing on margin is evil. He writes, "We just made such a loan to cover the sale and purchase of a house. Perfect. Reasonable." We'll post some of his letter at Here and Now as well. Latest news is next, Here and Now.
Support for Here and Now comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. The Institute of Contemporary Art Boston, presenting Dance Draw, an exploration of art and performance, on view now, icaboston.org. And Philips Healthcare, dedicated to improving access, managing costs, and helping clinicians improve care globally. At philips.com/healthcare.